Welcome to the Regenerative World podcast. Today we are here in the Amazon forest in Ecuador with Ramiro Vargas. It is raining and we're sitting here in this beautiful shala of the Capavi Eco Lodge next to a lake surrounded by big trees and birds, as you might hear. And we are going to dive into the topic of how regenerative and ecotourism supports indigenous people, and by that contributes to the conservation of the Amazon. My name is Vanessa Vivian Babich and I'm the co-founder of the regenerative and circular innovation organization CirConnect. I had the honor to join the Amazon Immersion, a truly regenerative journey organized by the Pachamama Alliance, and visit the Acho people. And I'm truly honored to have met Ramiro Vargas. He is the president of the Mana Acho Association that represents six Acho villages and a candidate for president for the Acho Nation. And he lives in the Capavi community and introduces us to the Acho culture and the way of living connected to nature and community in the Amazon. And I'm impressed how he supports the communities with strength and care and the wisdom that he shares. And I'm excited to talk with Ramiro about indigenous wisdom, the Amazon and regenerative tourism, and to share this glimpse of the Amazon immersion with you. Ramiro, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and also about the Acho people?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for this interview. My Spanish name is Ramiro Froilán Vargas Canelas. And I have my own actual name and last name, which is Chumpi Washiket. I was born at the Capawi village, which is one of the biggest village which belongs to the Mana Acho Association. And it's part of the Acho nation too. So I was born there and grown up there and lived there for all the time, you know. And I work here at the Capawi Eco Lodge since 1996 as a tourism guide and receiving people from all over the world, teaching them about the forest and, you know, the jungle, the biodiversity, and about my culture, the actual culture. So, yeah.
Great, yeah. We are really, all of us, enjoying so much to be here in Ecuador, in the Amazonian forest with the Acho people. Do you want to share a bit about the Acho and the culture of this indigenous tribe?
Oh, yes, definitely. We, the Acho people, are located on the southeast of the Ecuadorian Amazon basin. And like 88 Acho communities and 21 Acho associations are conforming the NAE, which is Nacionalidad Acho del Ecuador, in Spanish, you know, conforming the Acho nation. Around 10,000 inhabitants in total, or more or less, or the Acho people here. And we are one of the 11 indigenous groups which exist in the Ecuadorian Amazon. Yeah, as I already said, located in the southeast of the Ecuadorian Amazon basin.
Wow, that's really amazing. What is the relationship between the Acho and the Amazonian rainforests?
I would say that we consider ourselves the guardians of the Amazon, of the forest, of the jungle, you know, the river and the animals. And, you know, we are all interrelated. The trees, the animals, you know, the actual people, the rivers, the sacred places like waterfalls, the big mountains, and sacred animals like jaguar. It can be the harpy eagle and the anaconda, that we are very respectful of them. and the same thing from them to us. You know, we respect each other. We consider like very important thing, you know, for the entire Amazon and so for the world, you know. So we are interrelated. We are interrelated. We are part of the Amazon. The Amazon is our home. It's our natural library, because we can find here in the Amazon everything we want, and we consider the Amazon as our natural pharmacy, because we can find any kind of medicinal plants in order to cure any sicknesses. And also we consider the Amazon or a natural market, because we can find any kind of food in order to feed, you know, our people or women or kids or children. So we are the Amazon, actually. You know, we are connected to the trees, to the big trees like kapok tree, you know, the strangled fig trees. Mm-hmm. And so on. So many different species of trees which exist in the Amazon. We consider them, you know, especially to the kapok tree, the biggest trees we have here in the Amazon. We consider them as our grandfather, grandmother, and we are very respectful of them. They are very respected. And as I already said, the same thing from them to us.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful. And it's also so nice and beautiful to experience this here during our stay at the Kapavi Eco Lodge, and to visit the tree and see the plants that can be healing for any kind of sickness and the animals around. Why did you start the Kapavi project, and how did it all begin?
Okay. We, not only the Achur people, as I already mentioned, like the 11 indigenous group in the Amazon, in the Ecuadorian Amazon, not only in the Ecuadorian Amazon, but also indigenous group from other countries, in the Amazon of other countries, are living in a permanent struggle, you know, with our government. Here in Ecuador, with the Ecuadorian government, because they are, you know, always trying to expand the oil exploitation in the Amazon. They always are wanting to expand the, you know, the mining in the Amazon. They wanna, you know, there are some timber companies who want to come into the Amazon because they know that the Amazon has a lot of trees, good woods, for, you know, so they wanna come to cut. And you know, those, all the companies I have mentioned are very destructive, we consider. If it happens, the Amazon will be gone, and the indigenous groups who are the guardians of those of the Amazon will gone, you know, will disappear, and the world will be on, you know, in a very, very serious thing. Yeah. It will affect a lot if we, you know, if the companies comes to the Amazon and take the oil, you know, take the mines and take the wood, the trees, the cut. It will affect not only to the Amazon, not only to the indigenous group, not only to Ecuador, but to the entire world. Because like saving, to conserving, like protecting or defending the forest and all the ecosystem and the biodiversity, we are helping to the people from all over the world.
Yeah, the Amazonian forest is so important because it's the lung of the world for the whole climate system and the health of all people. Do you know how much was destroyed already, and of it? And because from what I heard so far is that already a lot of destruction happened, and now you try
you fight against all of this destruction.
Yeah, you know, there are some oil companies already working in the northern part of the Ecuadorian Amazon, where the Shona people, where the Cojuan people, and you know, on their lands are already working the oil companies. And we have been there, you know, we were taken to see how the oil companies are working and how they are treating to the people, what are they doing, how they are contaminating, how they are polluting to the, you know, to the rivers and things like that. So they have gotten a lot. They have gotten a lot, you know, it's very, we are very worried about that. Not here in the, not the oil companies yet in the actual territory, not the miners in the actual territory, not the timber company in that yet in the actual territory, because we have defended, you know, protected and stood strongly against them. And so what would happen if we don't exist? You know, they will come very easily. And therefore, you know, to protect that, we have to do something like as a conservation project. And that's how the idea with the tourism came up, you know, to build a ecolodge. And that's why the Kapawi Ecolodge was created and have been working, like receiving guests, receiving tourists from all over the world here. And because of this project, the Ecuadorian government cannot enter to the actual territory. Because, as you already said, the Kapawi Lodge is not hosting only people from Ecuador or from South America, but people from all over the world. So those people who come to visit the Kapawi Lodge, they take our message to spread to the world. And when they get back to the, you know, back home to the, in their countries, they share their experiences, they spread the messages we sent to, you know, to the people they know, to their friends, to their relatives. And that's how they help us to conserve. The point is that we are worried a little, not a little bit, but a lot, because in the 60s or 70s, when the missionaries came the first time to the actual territory, they thought the cattle ranching would be the good alternative for the actual people. But it was a wrong decision, because we don't have roads coming into the actual territory. You know, to go out to the cities, to the nearest cities of the actual territory, we take planes only, and now the motorized canoe. So it's kind of very hard to bring the cow meat to the market or in the cities. And the cattle ranching in the Morona Santiago, as we are located, the actual people is located in two provinces, Morona Santiago province and the Pastaza province. And in the Morona Santiago province, you know, my relatives have the cattle ranching. So they have to cut a lot of trees. They have to clear big areas in order to, how can I say, reproduce cows and to grow cows. And so it is becoming a very big issue right now. And that worries us a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so shocking on one side to hear, like, how constantly need to fight. How did the Kapawi project start? And yeah, how was this all set up, especially aligned with the place and with nature around?
You know, It was very strange at the first time to talk about tourism, like to bring people from everywhere, from different places from the world. It was strange to talk about because, my people, like my elders, the actual women, they were kind of afraid, to see people from other countries. But as we did realize that we are brothers and sisters because we are sons of the same Arutan. Arutan means God. So we are son of the same Arutam or God, So we had to understand that we had to create this Kapawi Lodge and to share our experiences to teach to the people as companions, because we are companions too. Even we receive people from other countries of the world, people living in, in Europe, people living in Canada, in the United States, and I would say like in Brazil. But we are all companions because we share the same planet Earth. So we had to understand that we took to create and receive, and that way we can, spread our message, saying that we the actual exist, and we are the forest caretaker or something like that, the defender, the conserver, the preserver of the forest, and as already said, on all the ecosystem and all the biodiversity here. We actually consider like we have, how can I say, inherited the land, the territory from our elders, from our ancestors. And we have inherited the land like a living land. And now we are working and to pass this to our future generations, but we want to pass the living forest, the forest alive, the trees alive, the river like alive, and with animals, same as we did inherit from our grandparents and from our elders.
Yeah. Wow. It's really, thank you so much for creating this and also offering this opportunity to experience the actual culture, the different way of living, which different from us, but at the same time what we have in common, and this desire and to live aligned with nature and connected with nature and people, and also to learn about the Amazonas and all these plants and the animals. So thank you so much for offering this. And how does this contribute to conserving the culture and also the Amazonian forest?
Yeah, it is very important to know that we the actual are in touch, are connected, are in contact to the trees, to all the nature around us. It throws some medicinal plants like ayahuasca, tobacco, or datura. And if we need something, we take those medicines in order to have visions, and the plants, the effect of those plants, of those medicines, they become into the person and teaches us everything we want to know, how to solve the problems and things like that. So we allowed people from all over the world to come here and to practice, they too, we allow them to practice, taking those medicines, tobacco, ayahuasca, or datura. But people from other countries. They come here, but they mostly are part of the ayahuasca ceremonies. And, you know, they realize themselves how important, after taking the ayahuasca, after taking the medicines, they realize themselves that how important is the Amazon, how important is the river, are the rivers, how important are the trees, the forest and the animals. And what would be, a lot of forest, big forest, but without any animal. I don't think it can, it worries us. So we have to be alive together, mm-hmm. the trees, the people, the animals, and that's how we feel the harmony between all of us. And, how does this project contribute to the world? Mm-hmm. It's like, people, they come here personally and they practice our costume, our traditions, and they practice the ceremonies with the medicinal plants, and they get changed themselves and take those experience to the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's how they this project contributes to the world. Yeah,
yeah, it is really true through this, ceremonies with the natural elements to deepen the connection to nature in ways we cannot even imagine. Great to see also how the culture that is alive and through ecotourism and conscious tourism, to keep the culture alive and also the Amazonian rainforest. Do you see that happening, that it supports and contributes?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. I would say, it's the only option we have for now, and the most important option. Mm-hmm. To have this project, because mm-hmm. it contributes a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, really contributes a lot to the world.
And how do you make sure that the ecolodge is in harmony with the forests and everything? You mentioned already that you carefully selected the place with a lot of respect and special ceremonies. And what else do you do to ensure that it's in harmony with it and stays also in harmony with it instead of like polluting or the environment?
As the people, natural people, are increasing, the inhabitants are increasing yearly, like every year, and so it needs to, for food, people need to go hunting. Yeah, because that's the way we, we sustain our families in the communities. So as the population is increasing, the animals are kind of in danger. Yeah, so... In this area, we have prohibited hunting or fishing, things like that. So after more than 25 years, we have seen a lot of animals around the Kapawi Lodge. Mm. So the hunting is far away from the community, not in this area. We are conserving this area, so to lower hunting, to lower fishing, we have implemented some projects in order to raise chicken. That way we can support to the families in the communities. We have fishing pond, where we are raising or growing fish, in order to sustain our families in the communities. And the same thing with we have some other projects like growing vanilla. We have vanilla, and we have told that the vanilla project is very, very helpful if we do it correctly. So we are socializing to our people to grow and how to maintain, how to keep, you know, the vanilla project.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow. And what is the key of protecting the Amazonas and the territory? You have mentioned that there are alliances that are created that are very important. Can you tell a little bit more about that and the importance of that? For example, this incident where you had to stand up and against the selling of the trees.
Oh yeah, you know, people, the actual people didn't know before, you know, that the balsa, we call the tree balsa, which is the lightest wood we have here in the Amazon. Those trees are very fast growing trees. So we the actual didn't know that, you know, those trees are very valued. And during the pandemic, like 2 years ago, more or less, a lot of people, Spanish-speaking people from the cities came into the actual communities, you know, asking to the people to, you know, like they wanted to buy those balsa trees. So as we have old gardens, you know, old gardens where, you know, balsa trees grown already, and people started to sell those balsa trees to these balsa buyers. And then the people realized that selling balsa, they can get income. And therefore, they wanted to start like cleaning a big area in order to plant or to grow balsa. It became a very big issue. A very big issue. Like those Spanish-speaking people, the balsa buyers, were offering money to the people in order to plant, you know, a big quantity of balsa wood. And I had, you know, like as the president of the Man Actual Association, I had to ask communities to join together and to have a meeting and talk about that and stand strongly against those balsa buyers. And as they had a lot of money, they were convincing to my people, to the actual people, like to work with the balsa project, I would say, if it's project or not. But so the, you know,
yeah.
One day I had to bring, you know, I had to request help for the military people, you know. So I brought some military, Ecuadorian military people in order to help me to send those balsa buyers away from the actual territory. And it was a very hard work because some actual people already were convinced by those buyers and they were standing against me, against the rest of the actual people. But we as the majority were wanting not to work with the balsa trees, you know, like selling. So we were very successful.
Yeah.
We were very successful. So now it has stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, you know, we are working only on tourism now.
Yeah. It's such a good example of actually the challenge that happens in many different parts of the Amazonian forest, because of course there's this way of generating very short-term income for people, but at the same time you have this mid and long-term awareness that how important it is to conserve the Amazonian forest, and that it brings actually in mid and long term a lot more life, and it's essential for our life and also for the economy to sustain it and to find other ways of generating income. And so it also shows so well like how alliances and Mana Achua Association is an alliance between six communities, you mentioned, right?
Yes.
It's how these alliances are actually so important in joining forces and conserving the way of life here. Really, really great to see. So very well done. Wow.
Yeah, it was very well done, and mm-hmm. even that it was a hard work.
I can believe, because how did you find an agreement within the community and with the people who wanted to sell the trees?
Yeah, it was, as we already said, it was a very hard work. And we had to convince to the people who wanted to sell balsa trees, who wanted to work with the balsa, like planting or growing a lot of balsa trees, to sell to the buyers after after 3 or 4 years. And, you know, like, if they work, if they grow a lot of balsa trees, after 3 or 4 years, they sell all of them. They got the money. And I would say that indigenous people are not really prepared to manage a big amount of money. Yeah, it was, not only spending it on the right way, they were starting to spend in other not good things. I have seen a lot of people when they were selling the trees, they got the money and started bringing alcohol into the communities, so it was a big issue. That's why we had to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we had to stop it. And the Kapawi Lodge, it's not a short or medium term project. The Kapawi Lodge, Kapawi Eco Lodge, is the long term project. Mm-hmm. It is, I would say, forever. It will be here forever. Through this project, we will teach a lot of people from the world, and that way we can make an alliance, alliances with other people from the world, not only between the actual communities or actual association, but also we can find allies from people from other countries. We have heard about some non-governmental organizations and some NGOs, mm-hmm. Who can help us to mm-hmm. find some financial support in order to benefit the communities. Things like that. The communities have been asking me to look for the financial support in order to have clean water in the community, because we have been using the river water for all our life, but it would be very good to have safe water or clean water. That way we can protect our kids, other ways they get a problem with their stomach all the time, like kind of diarrhea, stomach ache, and things like that, when the people grow and get adult, they can practice the Wayusa ceremony. So when they drink, when we drink Wayusa, we can, throw up and we that way we can clean our stomach. But our kids cannot do it. Mm-hmm. That's why they suffer a lot with the stomach sicknesses, mm-hmm. things like that. And so, for example, to have clean water in the communities, in the families, would help a lot to the actual families.
Yeah, and raising this the awareness also from people who come here mm-hmm. and share this, because to conserve the Amazonian forest, it's a project and work from all the world, because it's not only the indigenous people, it's like all of us, we have to work together. And it's so beautiful how you say that this connection is created through the Kapavi Ecolodge and through this cultural exchange, and by that the exchange, the connection, and also the awareness is increased all around the world, and everyone can contribute in their way, how they contribute to it.
Yeah.
What do you think is essential to live aligned with nature for indigenous people? And you also experienced the urban way of living when you lived in the United States. What do you think is important to live aligned with nature also in the urban way of living? I call it like that right now. So in general.
Yeah, the life in the big countries, in the big cities, is totally different than the life down here. Here is, you know, we live like on a simple way. Yeah, but anyway, we have everything we need here. So, I have seen like the guy, when I was in the United States, I felt like I saw so many competitions all the time, like people competing each other to have more anything, even that they don't need, and comparing to that, the life is kind of like, how can I say, easy we live like connected each other between people, and as I already said, connected to everything who are around us. And if we need to find something new, we have to go into the jungle and take our medicine, and we will find it out, you know, how so. Yeah, we live in a simple way, even that we have everything we need here.
Yeah. Wow, that's so beautiful to hear. Everything is there, what is needed, and it's simple. Yeah, that's, is there anything else that you would like to share, that you would like people to take away with them?
Oh, yes. Yeah. First, I would like to say that, you know, people, you know, the oil companies, the miners, the timber companies, to simply understand us, that we wanna continue conserving this, preserving, taking care of this, like protecting, for the rest of our lives, you know, generation by generation. Mm-hmm. We want them to simply understand us, to let us live on our way. This place, the Kapawi Lodge, is not made only to make money. But for the main idea, the main point is to conserve, to have alive all the actual territory, and somehow the territories of other indigenous groups in the Amazon. And the same thing, we the actual have our relatives. There are a lot of actual communities and actual associations in the Peruvian side, in Peru too. And therefore, we have created an organization called COPNAEB, which means in Spanish Coordinadora Binacional de la Nacionalidad Achuar del Ecuador y Peru. So it's like a binational coordinator and that organization. So we are like actually from Peru and Ecuador working together, like they help us somehow and we help them somehow. And the same thing with other indigenous group, even that they are different culture, we have contact, we are connected to them too, somehow to work with only one idea, to have alive everything, the biodiversity, the ecosystem, especially the culture, indigenous cultures in the Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, the collaboration is really the key to live, to enable a life that is alive and connected and conserve the Amazonian forest. And thank you so much for sharing all of that and allowing us to understand it better, experience it, and getting so inspiring insights. And
definitely.
Thank you so much for all your work that you do here, for living that way, for sharing that, for supporting also us in all ways, making this experience really life-changing, and for standing up so strongly together and conserving the Amazonian rainforests. Thanks a lot for all of that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm really, really thankful. I think this will somehow help us a lot, help to this project, help to the Achuar, help to the other indigenous group, help to the Amazon, and help to the world itself. Yeah. You know. Thank you very much. I really, I'm very grateful of that.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. In case you're interested in more information about regeneration, the Amazonian forest, and how travel can contribute to that, feel free to check out the resources that we share in the show notes, and feel free to subscribe to our email list of Regenerative World and subscribe to the podcast. We are looking forward to all the next episodes and connect with you soon.